In Sunday school, we spent some time talking about the ministry of Scripture Publishing out of Wildwood there in Oshkosh. We have the opportunity to produce, I believe, in 45 different languages now. Please feel free to stop by our display table, and you can see some of the scriptures we've been working on recently. Just shipped a container to Kenya, getting ready to ship a container for Iran. Won't actually go directly into Iran, but in time, the 100,000 New Testaments will. And now we're working on 200,000 John Romans for Malawi and Chichewe. That's the language Chichewe they speak. We do have a prayer card. Please stop by the display table as well and get those. Sometimes people will say, well, I don't want to take all your material because it costs money to print and stuff. I know a guy. So please, that's what it's there for. And as well as our brochure about our ministry. I'll get a little more history there. Hebrews chapter 4 is what we'll be looking at this morning. One of the thoughts that I want to get across to you today, hopefully I can get this one thought, is simply this, and that is God's Word changes lives. God's Word changes lives. And not only do I believe that more today than probably I ever have, but I believe we need that more than we ever have. The world is certainly getting more wicked. And I'm a little hesitant to say some things because I remember in the first time, it was probably in the late 80s or early 90s, when people were like, I don't know how it could possibly get any worse. It's gotten a lot worse in the last 20 or 30 years. And I don't want to say I don't know how it could get any worse, but it's unbelievable. But God's Word is the answer. We talked about this morning, scriptures going into some of these closed countries. Listen, I don't agree with their government, and I would say as an American that some of the folks in the Middle East, as they try to attack our way of life, are my enemies as an American, but as a Christian, they need to be saved. They need the Word of God. And so our desire is to get God's Word out. I shared this morning, and you're always welcome to come down to the shop. We have folks, you say, wow, you're about an hour away. We have folks that come down every Tuesday from Green Bay that come up, which is an hour from us. We have folks that come up from West Bend and Hartford, which is, again, an hour from us, and they come, and we have a good time in the print shop, putting God's Word together, enjoying the fellowship around God's Word. We have something for just about everybody, from little kids all the way up. Parents will say, do you mind if I bring my kids with me? And I'm like, I don't mind, but just remember, my machines bite harder than your children do. So we've got six boys. Yesterday, our three-year-old was running around with a screwdriver trying to fix stuff, and some man was getting a little nervous about it. I'm like, he's number six. We got all that stuff worked out of our system. He probably won't break anything, and hopefully it won't break him. But we enjoy having people there, handling God's Word, seeing God's good Word go out. I try not to get used to it, but the one warehouse we have is probably close to this size of this room, and it is full of Scripture right now, God's Word that's going into these various countries. And as we talk about the need for God's Word today, as we talk about God's Word changing lives today, I'd like you to remember us in prayer. In our ministry, if you stand for the reading of God's Word in Hebrews chapter 4, if you'll stand as we read God's Word. Brother, I never asked you, what time are you guys normally done by?
So,
2 o'clock. Yeah. So if it makes you feel any better, I don't generally eat breakfast. I don't generally eat before I preach, so I'll get hungry before you do. So we won't make it to 2. 1:30 maybe, 2 o'clock's not going to happen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we read, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you, and we're thankful for your word. Lord, we come together on a Sunday morning to hear from your word, to hear from you. But Lord, help us be reminded today that there are many people who have never heard a single word from your word. They have never handled the Bible. Lord, they will live and die without knowing what the scriptures say. And yet today, we all have or have access to a Bible this morning. And we take that for granted. And Lord, as I challenge folks to be focused on your word and to get your word out to others, Lord, help us to realize what a gift we have to hold your word in our hands. Guide us and direct us today, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We won't take the time to go to it, but if you were to go to Mark chapter 4, it's the parable of the sower sowing seed. And he talks about sowing on hard ground and in the different grounds. And of course, we're in Wisconsin and we're all farmers, right? I remember when I went away to Bible college, they assumed because I was from Wisconsin, I must know how to milk a cow. Funny thing was, a guy in our church was a farmer and hired me, and I worked on a farm through high school, and then in college I found a farm in Indiana to work on, so I'm a little familiar with that side of things. But he plants a seed, but the Bible says in Luke chapter 8 that the seed is the Word of God. And I want to talk about our ministry. Of course, we call it Bearing Precious Seed. I want to talk today about the idea of us planting seed, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us, whether it be our children, our family, our coworkers, whether it be around the world. There's a saying that the light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. And so sometimes we can get wrapped up with what's going on in other countries and the need for reaching those in Malawi. But we forget about what we have here. I want to ask a favor of you as we get into the ministry a little bit. We've had a couple join us. You can see their prayer card on the table, the Paganos. They're trying to raise their personal support so they can come work full time. I joke a little bit, Brother Pagano, he's a month older than me to the day, so he's the old man in the print shop. And I've been praying for a young couple to join us to take over for us. And so continue to pray for that. Us old guys are only going to be around so much longer, but eventually we need to be replaced, right? And so we're praying about that as well as some projects. I mentioned Iran and the scriptures going there. Our print ministry, we talked about a little bit this morning, was started in 1979 under Jim and Monica Hoffman. We've had the opportunity now to print in 12 million different print 12 million different scriptures in 45 different languages. That number continues to go up. One of the things our ministry does is we're able to distribute scripture free of charge to those that need it. You say, well, how does that work? I don't know. God supplies. God supplies. It continually supplies. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school in the supply. And then we're also able to take missions trips around the world, literally. We're hoping to get into Malawi probably next year. We've had the opportunity to go to Puerto Rico. God's opened a door there, and I want to just take a couple minutes to explain that. When I went to Bible college, I met a gentleman there by the name of Jim Shelton, a friend of mine, ended up being in his wedding. And then he and his wife became missionaries to Puerto Rico, invited us down in 2009. My family and I went down to visit him, and they kept trying to talk me into coming back. I didn't really want to, which is a weird thing as I tell this story. In 2011, I finally said, you know what, I'll come back and I'll bring a group of folks down to help and we'll see how that goes. I said, how many people do you have room for at your church? They had some actually outbuildings that they had some makeshift, if I call them cabins, that would be kind of a nice term. He said, we have room for 15 people. So we started putting our team together. We had 12 people. Had a pastor from Minnesota, a youth pastor from Minnesota, call me and say, hey, listen, we'd like to take some people to Puerto Rico on your trip. Do you have any room? I got room for 3 more people. And he says, well, we've got 10 or 12 people that want to go. And I said, oh, okay, we'll do a trip a few weeks later. So we took our first trip. By that time, we ended up with 13 people and 12 people from this other church. And we had 2 trips in 2012, and I think one was in January and then one was in February, something like that. And then since then, I just got back from Puerto Rico with team number 26 in the last 10 years now. You say, why Puerto Rico? What's so great about Puerto Rico? Well, there's some things. Puerto Rico is a territory of the states, so you don't need a passport to go there. People say, oh, I don't have a passport. Well, let me recommend you get a passport. Let me just start with that. If God leads you to go to Malawi, and you're like, oh, no, I don't even have a passport for Malawi. Go ahead and get a passport. They're pretty easy to get. They're good for 10 years and all that. But you don't need a passport in Puerto Rico. I don't speak Spanish. So that's good. They speak Spanish, and they speak English, and they speak Spanglish. But they speak all 3 languages, and sometimes all at the same time. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of a picky eater. They've got McDonald's there. Now, what is the big draw to Puerto Rico? I'd love to tell you it's spiritual. But I generally take groups in February, March, and April. It's a tropical island. It's not 40 below zero there. It just never gets that cold. In fact, when I got down there this last time, I think the low was 72 or 73, and they were complaining about how cold it was. There's times we've left and it's been 40 below zero here, and they cannot imagine that. 40 below, how do you guys survive? I'm like, well, when it gets that cold, what we do is we climb inside our freezers because it's warmer inside the freezer. Really? I'm like, no, not really. You just layer up, man. You don't hang out outside any more than you have to, whatever. But so God really blessed us, opened that door, and I can spend some time sharing about Puerto Rico, but the different teams we've been able to take down. But you'll see that as we talk, as God's allowed us to produce more scriptures, right now I'm the only full-time person in our shop. A lot of volunteers. I think this week we had about 100 different volunteers come through, a little under 100 people from our church and other churches that have come through and volunteer their time. Some of them are a couple hours here and there. Some of them are a couple, you know, come in different days and help. But it's our request, obviously, to see our ministry grow, not for the sake of growth. Hopefully we're never about numbers, we're never about the buildings, but we want to reach people with the Word of God. We want to see the people in Puerto Rico reach, but we want to see the people in Wisconsin reach. We're constantly working. We just shipped out some scriptures to a church here in Wisconsin last week. We want to see God's Word get out. And people ask, how is all of this done? And I want to take a little time to explain that, but I don't know that I have a complete and full answer for that in how it's done. But part of that's done is by us each doing our part. And that doesn't have to do just with our print ministry, but it has to do with your church. I think one of the biggest lies Satan has told us in Christianity is that what I do doesn't matter. My part. Being a greeter at the door, helping take up the offering, cleaning the church, whatever that part is for you, working in the nursery, I praise God that my part in this is not working in the nursery. I don't feel led to work in our nursery. I just never have. Not that I'm afraid of kids. We got six boys. You got five. You're trying to catch up with me there. I saw that. I'm sitting behind him. I'm like, they got five. Boys are a blast. They are. But we want to be doing our part. We want to be actively involved in reaching others with the Word of God. One of the things that we're constantly asking for, and one of the things as I get older that I challenge people to do, is pray for your missionaries. I see your missionaries up back here. I had mentioned a particular missionary that was in a dangerous area right now distributing scriptures. And then I go back by your board and I see his picture and his family up there. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Try not to use his name. He's asked me not to because I think you guys are video recording right now. He's asked me not to just broadcast. You know what I'm talking about. Be in prayer for them as they go out. One of the things is I share this about prayers. We talk about the Word of God. We talk about the need of the Word of God. When I first started traveling for the ministry, we went down to Kentucky. My in-laws had been missionaries in Romania for 20 years, and at the time they were there, our oldest son, who's 20 now, was just a newborn. So he was born in September of 01, and I think this was December of 01. We went to this church in Kentucky that my in-laws knew about, that they were friends with, presented the ministry, and so on and so forth. And then over the years, we've been back a few times, and I think the last time we were there was maybe in 2016. We were there, and an older lady in the church says, "Hey, I remember the first time you came and presented your ministry way back in 2001. She goes, "I still have your prayer card." She pulled it out and showed me this prayer card of this young family with one boy. We had no idea what we were getting into. And she goes, "I pray for you." I don't remember if she said every day or regularly. Now, I know sometimes when missionaries say pray for us, that's they want our prayer. That's. But I don't generally have people sign my Bible. Now, there's nothing wrong if you want a preacher to sign your Bible or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But I took my Bible and I said, "Could you sign the front of my Bible? Because it means that much to me." And so I challenge you, one of the things that we can all, I think, do better at is praying for one another, praying for our church, praying for our missionaries. The idea of by love serving one another can start simply with prayer. But as we look at this, as we look at reaching people, as we look at the Word of God and the scriptures that are out, we need to consider what God would have for us. One of the things that I've seen just in the last few years, I believe is part of COVID waking us up a little bit to the reality of how fast things can change in our society, is, are we doing our part? I get that not everybody's going to call to a print ministry. I get that not everybody's going to call to be a pastor. I get that not everybody's going to be called to these different situations. But what does God have for us? And the way we find that answer is through prayer and Bible reading. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about it? And so I want you to consider the different aspects that God has with you. It's an interesting thing, and I'm going to share some stories with you, because sometimes as preachers we can get so spiritually minded that we almost leave the plane of what feels like the reality of every day. So I'm working in a print shop. I'm the only guy there. We got a bunch of equipment there, and I get asked, who maintains that? Me. How good are you at that? My last name's Carpenter, and I don't even do carpentry work. Some of that stuff I can maintain. I've been doing it since I was 13, helping in the shop and learning maintenance and all that good stuff. But just in the middle of nowhere, a guy during COVID goes, hey, listen, I used to work for a big print shop, and I did a lot of their maintenance stuff. And he goes, my hands don't work like they used to. I just can't work for 8 hours a day with my hands. The nuts and bolts, they can't do that fine stuff. But I like to come in once a month or so and just spend a couple hours till my hands give out and working on it. Great, wonderful. That's we need that. So he's volunteering the time. We have folks that come in that do office work and help us with this. One of the things that you have to remind yourself that God's in charge, okay? Because if you look at the world we live in, you want to go crawl under a rock. Maybe you don't. We started, I'm trying to not make this a long story. My in-laws were missionaries for 20 years in Romania. I mentioned that. My sister-in-law, my wife's one of seven. She has two younger sisters. Her next sister, Lita, married a Romanian. They are missionaries from Romania to Malawi, Africa. Okay. Have I lost anybody yet? Because it gets more complicated after this. So they're missionaries in Malawi. I'm talking to Ovi. That's his name, Ovi. And Ovi says, they worked with 38 churches. They actually work with more now. We work with 38 churches, and some of the pastors in Malawi don't have their own Bible. Now imagine when I say churches, some of them are just simply meeting under a tree. There's 10 or 15 people, whatever. But they don't have their own Bible. I'm like, Ovi, I know a guy that can help you with that. Oh, yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you. Well, then we got talking. We realized, obviously, if the pastors don't have a Bible, nobody in the pew has a Bible, right? And a Bible for them costs more or less a month's wage. Now, inflation is killing us right now, and it's difficult. But you have to understand, these people literally live from day to day. So it's not like, hey, we can just put a little bit of money away and we'll save enough money for a Bible. They're going to starve to death in the near future if they don't just stay a little bit ahead of it, right? And so it's a big deal for them not to have a Bible. So long story, we end up putting a container load of scripture together. And to make the story even longer and more complicated, Ovi and Lita are in Malawi, and they have their second child in Malawi. They decide to go back to Romania, which is home, and they go to get her a passport. And Romania says, well, she's not a Romanian. And my sister-in-law, who is an American, but because of some different rules and laws, her children didn't automatically become U.S. citizens. And the Malawian's like, she's not a Malawian. So here's a girl that technically should be a citizen of three different countries, and she's not a citizen of any of them. So finally, through a whole bunch of paperwork, they're able to get her to Romania, get her Romanian passport, and now she's a Romanian, and that's wonderful. But Romania decides that they're no longer going to give 10-year residencies, they're only going to give one-year residencies. So my sister-in-law, who's an American, her residency is only good for 1 year. And she has to renew it every year instead of every 10 years. My brother-in-law, who's got a brain in his head, goes, wait a minute. My kids are all Romanian. My wife's an American. If they don't renew her residency, she's going home, and I'm stuck in Romania with three kids. I think my sister-in-law had a plan there. He caught on to it. So they decide the best time in U.S. history to come back and visit America to get their kids U.S. citizenship is in February of 2020. And they're supposed to be here for 5 weeks. And they end up here for 150 some days because something happened during that time. And they get stuck here 2 days before they were supposed to go to Milwaukee to the State Department. COVID hits. And they can't, so they're here. In the middle of all that, we finish a container load of scripture. If you remember 2 years ago, almost exactly, everybody was losing their jobs. Nobody knew what was going to happen. I know we look back and we all had it figured out. 2 years ago, we didn't. Okay? Nobody knows what's going to happen. We got this container load of scripture done, ready to ship. We've got some money put away to ship it, and the whole world's collapsing. So I write a letter, our newsletter, and say, hey, listen, we need $5,000 so we can ship this container to Malawi. The day or maybe the day after we wrote the letter, we get a letter in the mail from a family in Alabama that is, they're not on our mailing list, so they would never get our letter. They are now, but they were. And they said, you know, through all this, we actually got an inheritance, and God led us to send some money to your ministry to use as needed. Anybody want to guess how big the check is? Who said that? $5,000. Not more, not less. $5,000. Now, maybe you are way more spiritual than me. Maybe you have way more faith than me. But at the beginning of COVID, when all that was happening, I was happy to see $500, much less $5,000. It was just a God reminding, He's in charge. He's in charge. So we go back to Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. God's word is powerful. God's word is powerful. Do you know why the world hates God's word so much? Because it steps on their toes. Listen, if it's just a made-up book that a bunch of guys wrote down 1,000 years ago, whatever, it doesn't matter. But God's word is powerful. Why is it that Satan wants to keep it out of our children's mind? Why is it he wants to keep it from us spending time? Because God's word is powerful. But it shouldn't only be powerful in our lives, but it needs to be powerful in the lives of others, of those around us. It needs to be powerful as we share it. Sometimes people will say how much they love God's word, and I'll say, do you love it enough to share it with somebody else? Now, that means handing them tracts and encouraging them, but also getting it to them to have their God's word. I'm reminded of this container load. I'm reminded of, as we look at Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to say this, and it's a little funny to say in the Midwest, because I think we still understand this, but I'm seeing it more and more as I travel. Do you realize that God's word has the answer for our lives, not the government? Wow. As we went through COVID, I said, I hope that I have as much faith in God as some people have in the government. Hey, this politician said this or that politician. And I'm not trying to talk about politics this morning. I'm not trying to get you to vote one way or another. But my point in this is sometimes we have so much faith in what the U.S. It's the U.S. government. They can fix this problem. I don't know if you've noticed this, but they've been creating a lot more problems than they've been fixing lately. Amen. God's word is what's powerful. We need to stay focused on His word. We need to stay focused on the things of God. God's word is what shows us how we can be saved. Well, that's just what you Baptists believe. I've been a Baptist my whole life. I promise you there's some things I don't believe that some other Baptists believe. There are some crazy Baptists out there. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. We will die. One of the things that COVID has brought out is people are actually aware of that for a change. It used to be, I'll die when I'm old. Now everybody's afraid of dying. It's a point on man once that my grandpa just died in February, 101 years old. 101 years. That's amazing. His mom lived to be 107, so he gave up a little early, but he made it to 101. My mom, she lived to be 60. The Bible says that we're all going to die someday. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses at one time ask me why there's so many different religions in the world. I said, there's not, there's two. What do you mean? I said, well, you either believe the Bible that says you're saved by faith, or you believe in works. Those are the only two kind of religions out there. In John chapter 3, Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus, and I believe Nicodemus is a righteous man. I believe he means well, a good person. And he kept trying to bring up his works. What Jesus says in John 3:7, ye must be born again. Well, was he religious? Sure he was. And his religion would mean that he actually knew a lot of the Old Testament. His religion would mean that he gave of himself and of his finances. And those are good things. Those are nice things. I'm not trying to talk down about those, because there's a lot of religions that practice that. However, that's not the way to heaven. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we started with this simple thought of God's word changes lives. And if you can imagine that thought being held up with these three pillars, the first one being that God's word is powerful, but the second one being that God's word is precious. God's word is precious. In 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." Is God's word precious to you today? In our video we showed this morning, 75% of the world today does not have a Bible. Almost 6 billion people now don't have a copy of God's word like we have it. But if you think about history a little bit, you think about the Bible, as we think about the Bible, as one unit, didn't come together. Well, it wasn't all penned down until John and Revelation around AD 90, and that was another 100 or 200 years after that before it was brought together as a book like we think of it today. And then it was very difficult to see a copy of it because it was all handwritten. A church might have a copy up front, and you might be allowed to touch it, you might be allowed to look at it, but for the most part, people didn't have the Word of God. Of course, Johannes Gutenberg comes along and invents the printing press, and I kind of jokingly say a friend of mine, because he gave me a job, he gave me a ministry, and I'm thankful for the printing press. But if you actually study the press he had, I'm thankful I didn't have to run that press. We're talking about some of the older presses. Hey, I didn't have to create my own letters and then ink those up and figure that out, but it certainly allowed us to print faster, certainly allowed us to get the Word of God into more people's hands. And then you advance all the way to the time we live now. It's very easy to produce God's Word, but still difficult to reach some of these unreached places. Think about this. I was in a missions conference. A guy was talking about in the Middle East where the Bible is not allowed. He said if a person were to get convicted and start asking somebody to tell them about Jesus, they could literally spend their whole life asking for somebody to tell them about Jesus and never find a person that knows anything about Jesus. If you were to go into just about any place around here, Walmart, and you just started going up to people, hey, can you tell me something about Jesus? Can you tell me something about Jesus? Eventually, quickly, you're going to run into somebody. Now, maybe they're not going to teach you what the Bible says about Jesus, but they know something about Jesus. But we have the precious Word of God that we take for granted. And as I mentioned earlier, if God's Word is so precious to us, what are we doing to see others reached with His Word? You see, the world's not really supposed to have the solution to the world's problems. We have it in God's Word. As we talk about how wicked the world's getting, that actually reflects back on us as Christians sometimes, because we're called to be the salt and light of the world. As we look at God's words, as we look at these different things, there's a passage of Scripture that keeps rising up in my mind. I like the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. I think a big part of it is just simply because my name is Tim. Hey, you got to find a reason to like them, right? But it says, preach the word. And this is Paul talking to a preacher. But it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. And as preachers, sometimes we like to stop there and pretend there's a period there. There's a comma. It says exhort. And then it says this, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, I've been doing this long enough to find out there's generally two groups of people. There's either the group of people that they like to talk about the long-suffering side, right? Hey, grace, grace, grace. And I'm so thankful for God's grace. Please don't ever forget about the grace of God. Because if it wasn't for God's grace, we'd literally all be burning in hell right now. Because that's what we deserve. Pastor King would say, if we all knew the worst things about each other, we probably wouldn't talk to each other. But then it goes on with all long-suffering and doctrine. The truths of Scripture. You see, you can be long-suffering. You can be gracious and you can be loving and still stick to the doctrines of what the Word of God says. Thus saith the Lord. Well, I don't like that. It hurts my feelings. That's whatever. It seems like every day they come up with a new term that's supposed to back us in a corner. I'm getting old and I found out that I'm getting ornerier. They want to call me some name because I believe the Bible? Okay. I mean, you're just going to tag names onto what I am. I don't even care. I'm just going to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. But God's word is precious. Now, the last thing I want to talk about, and we'll be done here shortly, is if we talked about God's word being powerful, and we talked about God's word being precious, it's a very practical book. God's word is very practical in what we do because God wants to use us. Now, I want you to think about that simple statement. God wants to use you, not because he needs to, because he wants to. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wants to use you. Now, I know, we're up north. We're the land of the frozen chosen. We just had a group of men come through our church that were from down south. And during the preaching, during the offering, during whatever, they got excited. They're waving hankies and they're shouting amen and they're doing all that stuff. And our church is looking at them. We don't know. Do we need to call an ambulance for them or what? But God wants to use you. Not because he needs to, but because he wants to use you. It's what he's ordained. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." My challenge is, what are you doing for the cause of Christ? Hey, God's word changes lives. Is it changing your life? Yeah, I don't get that much out of my Bible reading. I don't get that much out of preaching. I don't get that much out of listening to a sermon online or wherever you listen to it. But what are you doing to invest in eternity? How is that practically fleshing out? In Revelation, chapter 2, God is talking to the church of Ephesus. He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." My question is, do you love Jesus like you did when you first got saved? I know we get busy. I know there's life. I know there's the day-to-day stuff. I know sometimes we feel like we're never going to get it. Every time you make a forward step for God, you feel like some preacher comes along and tells you you're not doing enough. My challenge would be, just find what God has for you, that simple step. Hey, maybe it's just being faithful to church Sunday morning. Man, I really need to get to church every Sunday morning. And here's what happens. You decide to start coming to church faithfully every Sunday morning, and something comes up because that's what life does. And you miss a Sunday for a legitimate reason. And Satan says, "See, I knew you couldn't be faithful. Listen, just come back next Sunday and the next Sunday." And when something happens and you miss service again, it's okay. Just come back the next Sunday and be faithful. Because what you'll find out is initially you might have a lot of losses, but in the long term, you'll have some wins. And then, I know this is going to shock you, but they have a Sunday night service here, which I won't be here for because this isn't my church. And a Wednesday night service. And what you'll find is after a while, you start winning on Sunday mornings, you start winning on Sunday nights, you start winning on Wednesday nights, you go, "Okay, I'm understanding this." All too many times we want to be, I'm going to read my Bible 3 hours a day, and I'm going to go out soul winning 10 hours a day, and I'm going to be in church every time the doors are open. You find out that you can't do that. You find out there's different times in life that it gets difficult. But God's word is practical. So you get in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, and it says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest," watch this, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Sounds like America to me. Hey, I'm rich. What do I need God for? I've got increased with goods. It's always amazing to me, as much as I travel. Do you know how many storage units there are in Wisconsin? I don't know, but I got in the wrong business. I should have started building those things 20 years ago. We've used them. I'm not opposed to them. But we're increased in goods. But here's a verse that I never looked at in proper context, I guess, until a while back. So Revelation 3, 14 through 17 is talking to the church of Laodicea. Talks about how they're cold or hot. They're neither cold nor hot, rather. But they think they're rich. But the Bible says that they're wretched, they're miserable, they're poor, they're blind, they're naked. And it says in Revelation 3:20, in reference to the Laodicean church, to the church. Now, we use this as a soul winning of people getting saved, but this in proper context is actually to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Charles Ryer puts it this way in his notes on this verse. He says, how incredible that Jesus Christ should be kept outside his own church. How gracious that he should seek entrance. Christ is appealing to the worldly, compromising believer in the church to return and enjoy full fellowship with him. When we're talking about God's word, when we're talking about, hey, the mechanics of printing God's word, I, again, encourage you to come to the print shop. You can see our binders. You can see our trimmers. You can see our warehouse. I love it. We get shipments of stuff in, and some trucker comes in the front door in the office, and he's like, how are you going to get all these skids off my truck? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, those skids, I got 5 skids, and they each weigh 2,000 pounds. I'm like, okay. He goes, well, how are you going to get off my truck? I'm going to get them off with a forklift. How do you expect me to? Oh, I saw a church on here. I expect a bunch of old ladies to help me get this off. Well, we got some hardworking old ladies if you want me to call them. I mean, we can do it that way. But I prefer the forklift. And so we can talk about the practical side. We can talk about that side of the mechanics of how all that works. But the whole point of having a forklift, the whole point of having a print shop, the whole point of having the machines we have is because we want to get God's word out to a lost and dying world. We can share it with them because God's word changes lives. Because it's precious to me. And I'm a practical guy. Another saying, don't tell me about the labor, just show me the baby. And now all the women want to stone me. But I'll have somebody trying to explain something to me, this and that. Listen, how does it actually practically flesh out? How does that work? And this is what God's showing us in his word. That we've become a cold church. And I don't mean your church in particular, but church at large. And we think we're rich. We think we have what we need. And what does it matter? We've got a Bible. Hey, I have a Bible. Why should I be worried about getting other people a word of God? Because we're commanded to. Because it is precious. Because it is powerful, and frankly, because it's practical. And so as we close today, I want to challenge you with those thoughts, but I want to say that more importantly is, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Not because of what I have to say, but because of what God says on the authority of his word. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This is what the Bible says. Hey, if I say something that goes contrary to the Bible, guess what? I'm the one that's wrong. It's right, always. Do I like everything that the Bible says? No. It steps on my toes sometimes. You just said from the pulpit you don't like what the Bible says? No, sometimes I don't. But it's still God's word. It's still what we need in our lives. It's what we need in our lives from the time we were young, and I'm thankful for parents that brought me up in church. It's what we need as we get older. It's what we need as we have children, as we become grandparents, and all of those things right here in the Bible. The answers are right here for us, not only for us to have, but for us to share. If you've never been saved, let me encourage you today to talk to somebody. They can show you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die. Nobody can guarantee that. You're right, I can't guarantee that. The Bible can. God can. And he has. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these folks coming out on a beautiful May day. Lord, there's so much going on in our lives. Lord, there's a lot of good things as far as busyness going on, Lord. And I'm glad that people are hard workers. I'm glad that folks are busy serving, doing these things, but Lord, it's also nice to just take some time to open up your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to be Bible-believing Christians, which means that we're not just Christians on Sunday, but when we go out in the world tomorrow, when we go to our jobs tomorrow, we're Christians there, followers of Christ, that we're showing your love to those around us. Lord, we live in a very sin-sick world, and it can drag us down. Lord, we live in a time where the bad news is in front of us all the time. We can open our phones up just to catch up on an email and something pops up that's just bad news. But God, we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have a Bible that is powerful that we can go to. And God, we're so thankful for these things. Help us to stay focused on you and the things of God. Help us to be the salt and light we should be in the world. Help us to be the testimony we should be. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that has never accepted Christ as their Savior, Lord, we can talk about these different missionaries that go to these different countries and smuggling scriptures in and printing scriptures and all that, but none of that really matters if there's somebody here that hasn't accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Guide them and direct them. We do pray that you convict them of their sin. Bless this service, time to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.